God is, and he's speaking through Isaiah, the prophet. And who is he talking to? He's talking to the people of Israel. And what are they talking about? Jacob. Jacob, the father of Israel. Jacob, their father. Jacob, who redug the wells of Abraham. Jacob, their father. He was speaking to them. Now, why would God want to talk with all Israel about Jacob? The reason for that was he wanted them to understand relationship and the different levels of relationship that he was planning on taking them through. How many of you know that if a relationship that's 10 years old is the same as it was 10 years ago, you don't have much of a relationship? I mean, just something that has to be formed. It has to grow. It doesn't start where it's going to finish. And he wanted them to know, hey, there's different levels of relationship. And by the way that I treated Jacob, I'll treat you and your descendants. And, yes. And ever how that I, whatever I did for him, I'll do for you. And you don't have to worry. I am with you. And fear yes. not, no matter what you go through. I don't care if you go through the fire. I don't care if you go through the flood. I don't care what you go through. I'm going to be with you. And the fire's yes. not going to harm you. And the flame's not going to scorch you. And we go through it. How many of you are like me? We've been through a lot of stuff. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, I've been through about 72 years of stuff. Yes. As a matter of fact, I've been through the same amount of years of stuff as Jim Bennett until yesterday, and he turned a year older than me. But, we've been through stuff. But one of the hardest things for me, even after all these years, I've been in the pastoral ministry for 45 years, but one of the hardest things for me to understand is that no matter what I'm going through, God's with me.
Yes.
God is with me, and, yes. and he's going to guide me, and he's going to protect me. And regardless of what, even though it may seem dreary and hard and harsh at a particular point, I've always got to remind myself, God is with me.
Yes.
God is with me. And yes. and I love the story of Samson where he finally killed 1,000 men, you remember, with the jawbone of a donkey, with the jawbone of an ass. And when he did, he was so exhausted that he just fell down and he thought he was going to die. And he said, Lord, did you bring me this far just to die? And God said, well, of course not. Listen, God's not brought you where you are just to let you die there. God wants you to live there. God wants you to go further. I believe that God has a purpose for you, and he's created you, and he's formed you, and he will redeem you, or he has redeemed you. And the reason for that is that you will be able to do the things that he's called you to do and operate under the anointing that he's called you to operate under. And I believe that God is looking for a people that would believe that he is with them. Regardless of what we're going through, God is with us, and he will always be our supplier. He will furnish every need and everything that we would possibly need in this world. God will do that for us. So he's talking with them about these different relationships, different levels of relationship that he's going to take them through. Now, you have to ask yourself, why in the world is he giving three different definitions of the same person? Now, he's talking about Jacob. Well, he's talking about Jacob, and he gives three different definitions. He said, I created you, Jacob. Yes. I formed you, Israel. You remember the wrestling at the brook, and he changed his name. He said, no longer will you be called Jacob, but you'll be called Israel. He said, I've created you, Jacob. I formed you, Israel. And then he says, and I'm going to redeem you as many nations. Listen, we read the word and we always see where God is progressing his people. When he brought them out of the land of Egypt, we can even go back further than that. When he took them into the land of Egypt, when he took them in there, there were 72 that went in, 70 in some versions, but there were 72 that went in. But they stayed in captivity for 400 years. And at the end of the 400 years, 3.5 million Jews or Hebrews came out of Egypt. He grew his nation right under the nose of the enemy. You know what that tells me? That tells me when I'm hitting hard times, when things are going wrong and things are not working the way I think they should work, that's the time for me to know that God is with me and he's going to prosper me and he's going to create me in a way that I'll I'll be able to be formed in the manner that when we get through this thing, we'll be able to lift our hands up and give God the glory and just praise Him because He was with us. We need to know that all good things, according to Paul, come from God. He said, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice in all things. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so he's telling them, I want you to know that I want you to understand these different levels. And I want you to try to get to them through your father, Jacob, where you'll be able to understand it. He created him, Jacob. He formed him, Israel. And he redeemed him as many nations. Now, if we're going to really understand the meaning of being created, being formed, and being redeemed, we're going to have to go back a generation. You look at the Bible, and the Bible begins to move in a progression, and sometimes we have to jump back a generation where we can understand the next thing that's going to happen. So we find in Genesis 25, it's the story of Isaac pleading with God. Now, Isaac was Jacob's father. And so we had to go back a generation. So in Genesis 25, Isaac is pleading with God for his wife because she was barren. And God heard him and he granted him his request. She became pregnant. And you know the story, but I want to just tell you just shortly that she was pregnant. She had twins. She had twins living in her. So Rebecca conceived, and the Bible says, and the children within her struggled with one another. The children within her struggled with one another. Have you ever stopped I was raised with a brother, an older brother, 3 years older than me, but I never did realize he was older than me. I never realized he was bigger than me. I never did realize he could really whip me, you know. And he'd do it, but he'd have to do it again. But we struggled all the time. We were brothers. I thought that was the way brothers were supposed to be. I had no earthly idea that, you know, we could. But they struggled. And so she goes to Isaac and she says, what's wrong? Now remember this, she'd never been pregnant before. She didn't know what a pregnancy was supposed to be like. And here's all this activity in her stomach and she couldn't. So she goes, what is all of this about? I don't understand it. And of course Isaac said, well, you act like I've been pregnant before. I've never been pregnant. I don't know what's going on inside of you. You're going to have to ask somebody else. So she goes to God. You got to love Rebecca for this. She goes to God. You know, isn't it amazing? I love people that if they really have a question and they want the right answer to, the first person they go to is God.
Amen.
So she takes off. She goes to God. She said, hey, what's going on in here? And God says, you've got two nations in your womb, two nations, and they're struggling against one another. And they'll always struggle against one another. And there will come a time that the older will serve the younger. In other words, it'll get out of order. It'll get out of order, and the older will serve. But it's the way that I've designed it to be. You don't understand it, but that's the way it's going to be. And the Bible tells us that those two nations begin to struggle, and there left a strife between them that lasted for many, many years. God said, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples will come from your body. One will be stronger, and the other, and the older serve. Now, how many of you know that sometimes it doesn't take two people to have a struggle? It's always easier that way.
Amen.
But sometimes it doesn't take. I've had some struggles within myself.
Yes.
Those are the difficult battles. Because it's hard to disagree with me.
Amen.
For me to disagree with me.
Yeah.
And so I have a struggle within myself. And I found those are the hardest struggles for me to deal with. And I've also found that when I'm struggling within myself, really I'm struggling with God.
Yes.
Let me tell you. People don't realize it, but day in and day out, we have struggles come our way. And a lot of times, it's struggling with God. And when we struggle with God, I can assure you, it's going to be a long night.
Amen.
It's going to be a very long night. It's just like it was with Jacob and when he wrestled with the angel all night. It's going to be strong because we've had those kind of struggles. We've struggled with God. I remember when I was called into the pastoral ministry, I'm telling you, I did not want to be a pastor. I just be honest with you. It's been 45 years ago, so I guess I really did and didn't know it. But when God called me into the ministry, I figured every way. I said, Lord, I'd love to just evangelize one-on-one. Get out one-on-one and evangelize. Or if you really want me to preach, I will go into different churches. I just don't want to be a pastor. And I can remember this conversation just with it. And the Lord just said, why? And I said, well, number one, every pastor I've ever met is poor. And I don't want to be poor. I just, that don't impress me. And I don't want to be poor. He said, well, that's their fault. He said, you don't have to be poor. You got to serve me and you got to trust me. And I come all kind of different things. Finally, I did something I thought was very intelligent. I was sitting out in our home back then. We had a pool, and I was sitting out by the pool having my coffee early in the morning. So I said, hey, Lord, if that's really you and that's what you want me to do, let a bird light on that pole right over there. I thought that was pretty intelligent, you know. It's very direct, and there's no mistakes. And I will never forget it. I sat there, and I'm sipping my coffee, and I'm kind of smiling. I'm saying, I think I'm out of it. Think I'm out of it. And all of a sudden, here comes this bird. And he gets over that post, and he kind of hovers over it, and he does his wings like this. And then he flew to the next post and landed on it. And God says, you're going to do it, but you're going to do it my way. Not your way. I'm not going to do what you say. Right. You're going to do what I say. Yeah. Are you with? So yeah. We have these struggles, and I was struggling with God. But I found out that when I become obedient to God, when I allow God to just minister to me and whatever he tells me to do, regardless how ridiculous or how much I may not like it, if I will just do it, God will put his anointing on it. He'll put his blessing on it. And he and I both will be happy. Yeah. Amen? Amen? So the first child came out. Rebecca has the first child. So the first child comes out. The Bible says he's red and he's hairy. So they called his name Esau. And naturally, Esau means what? Red and hairy. You know, back then they named people for a reason. And it meant something. So he came out red and hairy. And they named him Red and Hairy. They named him Esau. And so the Bible tells us that the second child came out, and he was reaching, and he had a hole of Red and Hairy's heel. So they called him Jacob. He was trying to pull past him. Listen, we don't stop to think how our westernized thinking and versions have changed all of this thing. So we first of all, we said, well, actually, they called him heel, and they did because he had a hold of the heel. Heel means the same thing. Jacob means heel. So we got to thinking, okay, well, he's a heel. And it came from being a heel to being a trickster. And then from being a trickster, it turned into being a supplanter. In other words, we've made a fella that came out trying to get ahead to be a trickster and a supplanter and a foolish man. And so here he is. He's trying to get ahead. Look at. So they called him Jacob, which means striving to get ahead, one trying to get ahead. So here's where you've got to go with this. Recognize the fact that when he was born and he was trying to get, he spent his entire life until he met God face to face at Jabbok. And he had that conversation and he wrestled with him. He spent his whole life trying to get ahead.
Yes.
He never felt like he got ahead. All that he went through, Jacob went through so much, remember. And every time things started to work good, something else would happen. Remember, Leah? All these, yes. He worked, but he never seemed to get ahead. And he was striving, just trying to get ahead his entire life. Now, watch this. He was created, Jacob, striving to get ahead. He was created trying to make it, trying to get ahead. How many of you know that you will never achieve your destiny as long as you're living in your created state? If you are living the way you were created, you'll never be able to reach your destiny, because you've got to move to that form state and allow God to form out of you what he intended for you to be in the beginning. See, that night when he wrestled with that angel all night, you can see that God was forming him. See, we go through stuff. We go through stuff, and you know what we think? God's chastising us. We go through things, you know, God's just mad at me, and he's just, no. If God was mad at you, he'd kill you. We think he's chastising us. No, maybe he's just trying to form you.
Yes.
Maybe he sees where you are, and he sees where he wants you to be, and he realizes that if I just struggle with him a little bit, it may take me all night, but when I get through struggling with him, he's going to be who I called him to be. I'm going to start forming something. I don't know about you people, but I need a lot of forming from God. I need for God to start forming me, and I like to be in that place of where I'm by myself. You know, the Bible tells us that he got to this place called Jabbok. Jabbok in the Hebrew means a place of emptying. How many of you know that sometimes you just need to get to that place you can empty yourself before God? You need to get out of you what you put in you and allow God to put in you what he put. That's the way he forms you. That's the way he created you one way. He created you just to form you. And the reason he wants to form you is where he can redeem you and me. We need to be formed. We need to allow God to form us. And here he is. He's at this place of emptying. God brought him to that place. And you know he had to think of these things. Here I am. What's the name of this place? Jabbok. What is it? Jabbok. Here I'm at a place of emptying. Yes. Listen, I believe that sometimes you and I just need to empty ourselves.
Yes.
We need to get before God and just empty ourselves. Yeah. How many of you know God can't form a lot out of you as long as you're in a crowd?
Amen.
As long as you're in a crowd, God can't deal with you individually. He wants to get you alone. The Bible says that Jacob was alone. When you get alone with God, it's when God can really do something for you. You're not trying to impress anybody. You're not trying to make somebody think more of you than what you really are. You're not trying to be all religious, because it's just you and God. And you're right there and you're alone. You're alone with God. You're alone with the God of the whole earth. You're alone with the Holy One of Israel. You're with a God that created you and is forming you and getting ready to redeem you, and yet you just need to empty out yourself. You need to look in there and say, I need to just empty out what I put in here. How many of you know that when you're in a crowd, you kind of do what you want to do, but when you get alone with God, God does what he wants to do. Amen. Come on, work with me just a little bit, because I'm not going to preach much longer. What's this? If you stop and think about how God operates when we're alone with him. You know what? I've been in prayer time, and I remember one time in specific, I had a very difficult board member. And I had the hardest time with that guy. And I kept declaring I loved him, but I didn't feel it. You know what I mean? Just you have those, and I had this very difficult board member, and so I'm praying in my prayer time. I said, "Oh, I almost called his name, but I'm not." I said, "Lord, I want to talk to you about so and so. He is. I'm telling you, Lord, he has given me the biggest problems, and it seems like he can't keep his mouth shut. And every time we get things straight, he's got something else brewing over here and over there. And Lord, I just wish you'd just move him, and don't move him down the street. Take him off over there to Africa somewhere. You know, but I'm just God, get rid of this guy." I won't never forget it. So, you know, and I've said this before. I've never heard God speak audibly to me, but it's been so prevalent that it felt audible. I knew it was God speaking to me. And I won't ever forget it. He said, well, really, I don't want to talk to you about him. I want to talk about you. You know, it's not his problem. I'm going to deal with him. But right now, I need to deal with you.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, man, I wish I was in a crowd. I wish I was in a crowd where I wouldn't have to put up with all this stuff. God says, I want to deal. Sometimes you got to get to that place alone with God that you can just empty out. Yeah. You can just empty out. And when you get along with him and he begins to speak to you, he's going to begin to tell you those things that you need to empty out. I want to talk to you about this and I want to talk to you about that. And I can always say, I've learned this over the years. Here I am, Lord. Just speak.
Yes.
Speak and give me the ability to do what you want me to do. Yes. Let me understand it in a way that I can do exactly like you want me to do and allow me to get to that place. And then it's always like, that's fine, but you got to get rid of you.
Right.
You got to get rid of you before I can put any of me in. I got to get some of you out. And once I get some of you out, I'll be able to get in you what I want in you. Listen. We got to realize that we were created to be formed. See, it really doesn't matter what you were created to be. What matters is what God formed out of you. See, you could be created to be anything, but God begins to work on you. We used to sing this old song years and years and years ago. God's still working on me to make me what he wants to be. What I need to be, whatever it is. God's still working on us.
Yes.
You know, whether we believe it or not, regardless of what our religion is, we got to recognize that sanctification don't come all at one shot.
Right. Yes.
I'm telling you, he's still working on me. He's sanctifying me. He's separating me. He's getting the world out of me. And it's taking a process of time. It wasn't overnight. You know, I've heard people say, you know, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit and all this kind of stuff. I believe that God's still working on me. I'm telling you, if this is as good as it's going to get,
right. Amen.
I just am going to heaven. I'm just telling you, this is God's working on us. God's working on the whole church, the church as a whole. And not just in the church, but God's working on your heart. God's working on your character. God's working on your mind. God is working on your job. God is working. Anything you have anything to do with, God is working on it. He said, I will go before you and I'll be your front guard and I'm behind you. I'll be your rear guard and I'm going to encamp about you. And I just dare the enemy to come in on top of it because I'm God Almighty and I created all that you see, and all that you see is created for me.
Amen.
And so we recognize that God sometimes just wants us to empty out all we've got of us where he can put in what he's got of him in you. How many of you know that, and I know some people never have a problem. I just don't know anybody that way. But I have heard about, you know, some people don't have a problem. I have problems. I have circumstances.
Amen.
I have situations.
Yes.
You know, people think that we're kind of exempt from all of that. No, we're not.
Nope.
We have more than you do.
Because
we not only have our problems, we have your problem.
Yes.
But we recognize God's got to work on us.
Yes.
God begins to work on us, and he's working. From the time that we're born, from the time that we're able to understand, God begins to work on us, and he's working on us, and he's created us. Now he's going to form us. He's going to form us. He's going to work with us. He's going to work that mud, and he's going to make sure that we're right where we need to be, and there's no imperfections in us. He's going to keep working and keep working and keep working, and we're going to keep believing and keep trying and keep working ourselves until God gets us together. And once you and I touch base with God, that's when we begin to see the sanctification process come into being.
Amen.
We'll see it happening, but that doesn't mean it's over. That just means it's just begun.
Yes.
And we got to be able to recognize it doesn't matter what you were created to be.
Yes.
It matters what God forms out of you. What God, see, your what God forms out of you really determines your destiny. I know people don't hardly, but God wants every person to be happy.
Yes.
prosperous,
yes.
wise.
Yes.
He wants you to have a good family.
Yes.
He wants you to enjoy life.
Yes.
And we do everything we can to keep from doing that.
Amen.
And God just wants you to, God wants you to know He loves you.
Yes.
God wants you to know He cares for you. And if you would just allow Him to form you, then we can recognize the fact that if He forms us, that's when we're going to have the victory, when we get into that formed state. You know, you'll never be able to achieve your destiny as long as you're living into that created, in that created state. You got to see yourself as what God is forming out of you. You got to let go of your created past and allow God to take you into what He's forming you to be. Hey, church, listen. God's got good stuff for you. God's got good things for you. And what you've got to do is allow Him to clean you out. You got to empty out and allow Him to take it out of you and to clean it out of you. And you don't have to go back to. But you've got to, what you've got to do, you'll never accept where you are now until you let go of where you've been. I like to look at it this way. The enemy lives in your past, and God lives in your future. And you live in your present. This is the way it's designed to be. The enemy always brings up your past. God's always talking about the future. And you're too busy living to understand either one of them. See, so we recognize God is trying to get us away from the past. You need to let go of the past. The past means nothing to you. You're not bound by the past. God has something good for you. You'll never reach your fullest potential until you take what God has formed out of you and go back, take your formed state and go back and kill your created state. Paul said you got to die daily. Watch this. I don't want to confuse anybody. I just want to get you where I am before I let you go out of here today.
Amen.
You got to recognize. You got to take that formed state. You're living in what God's formed out of you. And you got to take it back and you've got to kill that created state, your past, what you've been living in. Now, watch this. This is cool here now. So you got to recognize when Jacob wrestled with that angel all night long, and then after he got through with the wrestling and God renamed him, he said, "You're not going to leave till you bless me." He said, "No longer shall you be called Jacob, but Israel." You remember that story? Okay, now what's here? What's the next thing he told him? He said, "Go to your brother Esau. You got to let that. I formed you all night long. I fought you crazy thing. I formed you, and now I want you to take that state that you're living in this morning, and I want you to go back to that created state and kill it. Don't kill your brother Esau, but kill that strife.
Yes.
Kill the strife.
Yes.
He wasn't wanting him to kill a prayer. He wanted him to kill us. You know what? You and I have things that have brewed in us all of our lives.
Amen.
And we need to get rid of it.
Yes.
And the only way we're going to get rid of it is kill it. If you don't kill it, it'll keep coming back.
Yes.
You got to kill it. You got to get rid of it. It's got to go from you. And it's got to be in a condition. It cannot be conditional. It's got to be in a place that it can't come back to you. He said, "I want you to go and I want you to kill that strife that you've had between you and your..." You come out of the womb arguing and fussing and carrying on with him. You've done it your whole life. You haven't even spoke to him, but y'all haven't said anything good about each other either.
Amen.
You got to go straighten that out. The way you're going to do it is you're going to get rid of the strife. Now watch this. In Genesis 32:22 says that Jacob, our Jacob, Yaakov, Jacob took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 sons, and he went to this place called Jabbok. And when he got there, he wrestled with God all night long, and then after he had sent his wives and his servants across the brook, God had him there by himself, and he began to work on him. Watch this. I want you to see here tonight that he resisted God all night long. How many of you ever resisted God? I promise you, like I said earlier, it's going to be a long night if you resist God. And he wrestled with him all night long. All night long, this guy's wrestling with the angel, with God. And guess what happened? He saw they weren't going to prevail, so he just touched him in the hip. And his hip went out of joint. and he had a limp. And we never read where he got rid of that limp. He had the limp the rest of his life. How many of you know that when God touches you, he'll leave his mark on you?
Yes.
You won't ever be the same again.
Amen.
Anybody that sees you, see,
Amen.
God's had his hand on you.
Yes.
God's touched
Yes.
you. God's
Yes.
God's touched you because Amen. When he would limp, every time he'd walk, he'd limp.
Yes.
It was a reminder to everyone, but it was also a reminder to Jacob.
Yes, amen.
I've been in the presence of God.
Yes.
I've been in the presence of God all night long. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that when God was pursuing Jacob, Jacob resisted him. But then all of a sudden, God's leaving. The angel's moving. The is leaving. So what did Jacob decide? He said, he may not come back. I better catch up with him. So he starts chasing God. You know, I've always seen this happening. And over the number of years in ministry, I've been through so many love-hate relationships with teenagers in the church. And they in love one day and they hate them the next and all this, that, and the other. And it goes in there. But I've always seen that when a guy is chasing a girl, she just kind of don't have nothing to do with him. He'll keep chasing. But if he starts to walk off, she'll say, oh, wait a minute. This is the same thing Jacob did. When God was pursuing him, he wasn't pursuing God. But when God began to walk off, listen, there will come a time, he says, my spirit will not always strive with you. What he's telling you is, I'll work with you. And I have a lot of patience, and I will work with you. But there come a time I'll walk away from you. I will turn you over to a reprobate mind and allow you to believe a lie. I mean, I know that don't sound too good, but that's just the way it is. It's truth, and you got to hear this. You got to know that God's calling you. He's beckoning you. He said, I stand at the door and I knock.
Yes.
And if you'll just open the dadgum door, I'll come in and sup with
yes.
you.
Yes.
We'll sit down and break bread together. Yes. I love you.
Yes.
God is beckoning for us. And his spirit will only strive with us for so long. We got to recognize. You know, how many of you know that Jesus said, you can't go to the Father unless you go through me.
Yes.
And he said, and you can't come through me, what? Unless the Spirit draws you. We've got, when the window of opportunity is open, is when we got to take advantage of it. I've learned in business, I've learned in church, I've learned in just life in general, that when the window, that opportunity lasts only as long as the window's open.
Amen.
When the window of opportunity closes, it's over.
Yes.
When he is beckoning us, when he's calling us, is when we must move. When we must stand up with me all over the building. I'm running a little late, but I'm okay. You know, one of the most gracious religious songs that has ever been written is Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. Can I tell you that sometimes it's not too softly and sometimes it's not too tenderly. But regardless of how it is, you must respond when the window of opportunity is open.
Yeah.
You know, I had someone tell me, not, I've had it so many times in ministry, but only a few weeks ago, someone said to me, said, Pastor, I would do this, but I don't think I can live it. And the answers never change. You can't by yourself, but with God, all things are possible. You can do it. You can do it. All you got to do is give it to God and depend on Him. I want to ask you this morning. Has God been dealing with you? Have you been wrestling with God? Have you been struggling with God? Is God trying to bless you, or is God trying to draw you and you've sort of put it away and put it away? And maybe this is a day.
Yes.
You can do it with God.
Yes.
Maybe this is a day. And you know, right where you're standing in this sanctuary, you can accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You can even renew your relationship with God. But we have people that are coming now to come down and pray with you. If you would like to have someone pray with you, just please come and allow us to pray with you. Every head bowed and every eye closed with me for just a moment. Father, I love you and I thank you for your word and I thank you for what you've said and what you've done and how you've ministered to us. I pray that you will open every heart to that word and you will give them a spirit of release to just accept you. And I'm going to ask every person in this building to pray with me as we pray together. Father, I love you. I've not shown it, and I failed you. I failed you so many times. But I come to you this morning, Lord, and I ask you to be the Lord of my life. To redeem me. You created me. You formed me. And I'm at the form stage. And I ask you to redeem me. Come into my life and save my soul. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth. I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. If you have a need and you would like for us to pray with you, I'd like to invite you to come. Or if you prayed that prayer of faith and you would like to pray some more, please come. And for those of you that don't, we'd like to dismiss you. Thank you for being with us. Pray that you were blessed and that the Lord touched your heart this morning. God bless you. Have a great afternoon. Be with your family. But we're here to pray for you. Come if you will. You may be dismissed at any time.